As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. and Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get quick.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're here today, and Tyrone is my guest, and we're going to be talking about some things that are really needed to be talked about and just explore into the lives of married relationships and connections and see what it is that we can come out with. And so it is important that we be ready to talk on an adult level and on the believer's level, and want everybody to be honest and above board about what it is they want to share. You cannot move on from where you are if you're not real about where you are. So we want to be as real as we possibly can and talk about what kind of things need to be done and what kind of things need to be changed in order for us to have the kind of connection that our Creator wants us to have. How are you doing today, Mr. Tiller?
I am doing excellent, brother. How you doing?
I am doing awesome, and I want you to know I've been waiting for this because I'm always prepared and ready to learn a little something.
You want to learn a little bit, huh? A little something.
Yeah, I want to learn a little bit.
Thank you for inviting me this evening. It's always an opportunity to, to be involved with people, and especially the group that we have. It's really an honor. I am currently writing a book, and James and I, we were talking the other day. The name of the book is You Better Call Tyrone, How to Make Passionate Love to Your... And so what happens is... Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, my phone fell off the hook. So here's what happens. As you know, I got that name from Erykah Badu, You Better Call Tyrone. That was just something, it's something like the Holy Spirit gave to me, You Better Call Tyrone. And How to Make Passionate Love to Your Wife came to me in a way that many years ago, probably about 20 years ago, I was married to this particular lady, and she said, listen, she said, I want you to write a book. And this is the name of the book. So the book should be The Black Man's Guide to Lovemaking. And so it's something she said, but I didn't think much of it. But over the years, I began to be engaged and inquire about that particular subject, and also begin to speak with women and speak with men about, you know, what's going on. The Bible says that we're married, and so let me read something here that says the Bible says sex and marriage. God made men and women sexual beings. He made our nervous system capable of receiving pleasure from the sex act. Sex and marriage is good and holy and ordained by God. It also says, the Bible says that marriage partners should offer their bodies to each other in marriage and should not deny each other, except that for a short period of time or a short season when you're fasting. Here's another thing I have here. Learn how to have sex outside the bed. Talk about sex. you know, have fun. Just talk about what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, what would you like your partner to do. So anyway, we did some research, and we did the research in particular all over the world, and we came back with some startling figures. Really, when we talk about outside the United States, it's even worse. We found that in the United States, and that only 37% of the women were considered themselves sexually satisfied. 37% out of 100. And so, that's a serious problem. You got 37% of 100% of women, and they're not being pleased, because sex, lovemaking, is one of the greatest things a husband and wife could ever have. What it does is it brings you together and it keeps you together. And there's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's sexually pleased or sexually satisfied. Now, women have a lot of complaints. There are a lot of men who think that they're all that and they're doing this and doing that, but they're really not. In fact, I had a lady from South Africa who's been married for 32 years. She told me this probably about 6 months ago. And a part of this is I'm trying to get this book out by December or January. And so I'd like to get your feedback. What would you like to have in this book? Because there's so much to talk about. I'm going to talk about love languages that most of us don't know anything about. I'm going to talk about some things like what do women complain about. One of the things women complain about is not enough foreplay. Many men, I should say, they just want to, when they get there and they're excited, they want to jump in and do their thing and it's over with. Well, it doesn't work like that, because first of all, a woman is like a crock pot. Most women, they're like crock pots. Men, we're like microwave ovens. So we're rushing, but it takes time. It takes time for her to get there. Now, in a relationship, in most cases, a man is supposed to take 20 to 30 minutes foreplay. 20 to 30 minutes. That means that he is supposed to take his time and, you know, and perform, do the various things that he does. And I find that most men don't even know what to do. He does that to get her aroused. When he gets her aroused, by the time he gets to enter, she's ready to release. So women said that there was not enough foreplay. The other thing they complained about, premature ejaculation. I talked to lots of women, for whatever reason, they share various different things with me, and especially when they find out I'm writing a book. This woman had been married 9 years. Had been married 9 years and had never had an orgasm, a big old. Now, this lady I was telling you about in South Africa, I was mentioning to you, who's been married for 32, she told me that she is so sick of faking. And I thought that was just, that just blew me away. She's been faking for 32 years. And I find that there are a lot of women who've been faking. There are a lot of women, even research shows that there's only a certain percentage of women that actually reach the big O. And so I have a whole list of things that they complain about. Well, we have a lot of issues in our communities as it relates to lovemaking, which is I can't even imagine an experience even any greater than that. Somebody say, well, if you had $1 million, well, $1 million is not going to give you that feeling. Somebody say, well, maybe if you had a baby is not going to give you that feeling. Maybe if you had whatever. I can't even imagine nothing any better than that. In terms of that experience, in terms of that feeling. And it's all about keeping us, as a couple of America, it's about keeping us closer. It's about keeping us together. I was sharing with this, uh, this, this, this prophet did, he prophesied over me several years ago. I think it was in 2012. And I was telling him, I said, you know something? I'm writing this book, and I've been trying to write this book. I've been trying to get it out. I've been trying to get the language that I need, the proper words. And I said, what do you think? And he told me, he said, you really need to do it. He said, because it's something that's really, really needed, in particular in our communities, because many of us, we don't have the knowledge. And so the objective of the book is to expose men to what to do and what not to do. But it's all about, it all comes back to loving your woman. It all comes back to understanding her and understanding her love language. And we'll talk more about the love languages. Understanding, you know, what is it that turned her, what is it that turned her on? So, James, you want to ask some questions so I can maybe fill in some things?
Well, one of the things that people have to be willing to communicate and share with each other what it is that their honest thoughts are, and you have to be willing to romance, keep romance in the relationship. And a lot of time I've been told that intimacy starts way outside of the bedroom, and that you need to be
absolutely
romantic and intimate long before the evening ends, and that helps to get the evening started.
Absolutely. Actually, if we're gonna make love that night, romance should start in the morning. There are things that you say to your wife. There are things you say to her, and depending upon her love language. But I find that most women love affirmation, positive affirmation. They love when you say really nice things to them. They love when you touch them. They even love when you say sexual things to them. They love when you treat them good. They love when you help around the house with the baby or the washing the dishes or cleaning clothes or whatever it is. But we also have to go back to how was your wife raised? How does she see life? How does she see lovemaking? Because I know in many families, in particular in the African American community, when we think of sex, many people think of something nasty. Even like on this call, some of us are going to be afraid to even talk about this because we're shy, we're ashamed. But this is something God has given us. You know, He said that, sex or lovemaking is for a married couple. It's for bringing you together and keeping you together because it's a spiritual thing. It brings you together. It gives you that closeness. And there's no closeness any better than spiritual closeness because we're spiritual human beings. But when you're close to your wife or real close to your husband, then the love making is just kind of like flows, and a man has to get to know his wife. For example, I was talking to a brother who his wife had been raped, and so she still have a lot of hangups, and so he's learning how to deal with those. With her being very sensitive to what she's experienced, and she still has not gotten over that. So he has to be very, very sensitive to the words that he says, the way he touched her. He just has to take time, and he has to communicate a lot with her. He has to find out what it is she likes. There are some women, they get to the point where they just want you to hold them. You know, it may look like a sexual moment or a love-making moment, but that's not what they want. They just want you to hold them. And so you have to be sensitive to that. If she tells me, I just want you to hold me, that doesn't mean that you're going to have sex. She said, I just want you to hold me. That means she just wants you to hold her. Here's another thing. After the act, after the sexual act, after the love-making, the worst thing a man can do is to roll over and go to sleep. Because what I've been told is that when he does that, he makes her like she's insignificant, like that's all he wanted. She needs to know that she's special. She needs to know that she's loved. She needs to know that she's cared for. She needs to know that he would die for her. She needs to know that he has eyes only for her. And so there's so much that's going to be in this book, and I don't even know where to start in terms of telling you exactly. So perhaps James can ask some questions, some other people, some things that and also maybe some suggestions, because let me give you an outline of the book. We're going to be talking about Okay, just give me a second. I'm sorry. I should have.
Well, one of the things that you talk about is,
thank you, James.
You know, we as Christians are supposed to have the best relationship that there are, and so we are supposed to use the information that is both biblical and secular to make sure that our relationships are true, special, and with a lot of substance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're absolutely correct. So the book starts out with an introduction, and then it talks about her past, because you have to get to know your wife, and you have to get to know what she's experienced, what's her outlook, what's her perspective on that. And then it talks about what every woman wants. It talks about the five different love languages. It talks about courting and dating. Because you're married, or when you get married, that means you're not supposed to court or date. In fact, you should court and date it even more. Getting to know her,
right,
the morning before, sexual healing, the morning after, make her feel special, build her confidence, make her want you, talk about lovemaking, and what does she need? Tell her. Little things like you want to drive her crazy, you want to become her dream lover, those kind of things.
All right, let's go on break, and then we'll come back and we'll get the audience into the conversation.
Okay, good.
Just a thought, James T. Deshay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay2.com. All right, this is James Deshay. We're back with Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And I have to tell everybody, you know, I am a believer, and I look forward to having this conversation with Tyrone, because I just think that believers are supposed to have the best of everything. We're supposed to know what it is to have romance in our lives. We're supposed to know what it is like to have love in our lives. And when I wrote my two books, I wrote it because I wanted to bring into words what I thought romance was and what I thought love was. And I consider myself, Tyrone, to be a hopeless romantic. I mean, I love and desire what God has given us in the opposite sex. I love being the man that women make me to be. I mean, I like being a gentleman. I like doing the kinds of things that men are supposed to do. And so I just enjoy everything that goes along with manhood, and I like what women bring to the table as females. And so it is important that we spend time talking about and researching what a relationship is supposed to be about, and you know, and how close men and women are supposed to be. And so I just think it's important that we discuss and talk about how to make these relationships better.
Right. Yeah. So okay, let me see. All right. So some information that I have down here. First of all, let's talk briefly. Just talk briefly about the five love languages. This is getting to know your spouse, or getting to know, in this situation, it's a man getting to know his wife. And we all have an emotional language, and one is more dominant than the other one. I learned that I have two dominant affirmations. And I'll tell you once I explain to you what these affirmations are. So the first affirmation is what they call words of affirmation, and this is one of my love languages. One way to express love emotionally is to use words that build a person up. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 18 and 21. It talks about your tongue, that your tongue could be life or death. So you give your spouse life by speaking into their lives. And many couples, they never really understand the power of of the tongue, the power of being verbally and affirming each other. You know, things like you could say things like a woman might say to a man, "You look some sharp in that suit. You look some good in that suit." That's, you know, if a woman told my wife told me something like that, I mean, it would make me feel good. It would, you know, I mean, it would just kind of just really, really make me feel good. It would probably it would make me want her even more. You can say that, you know, a man or woman, you can say, "I just love the way you make me laugh." You can say, "My God, you look so good. Wow, you look so sexy. You're over there looking like a golden piece of fried chicken." You know, you could just things. You know, your legs are beautiful. "I just love your hair." Things, that's if that person's dominant love language. But it doesn't have to be. Everybody wants to be complimented. Everybody wants to be complimented. I think about a situation where this guy was carrying a bag or two, and the wife said, "How in the world can you work all day long and carry two or three bags at one time?" She said, "Girl, give me two or three more of those bags," because she filled him up. She made him feel like Superman. Okay, so the next one is quality time. This is really important to a lot of women. What they want to do is they want to spend quality time with you. They want to sit on a couch with you and watch television. They want to look into your eyes. They want to go to the movies with you. They just want to do everything with you. They just want to spend lots of time with you. They want to clean the house with you. They want to cook with you. They want to go to the football game. That time to them is so important. That's their dominant love language. If you spend that time with them for that particular person, some women may not want you to spend that much time with them. But for others, if you spend that time with them, they just stay romantic, and it's like it's always on. Then you have receiving gifts. There are some women who love to receive gifts, and it doesn't have to be a big gift. But they just love the thought of you thinking about them. You know, it could be a card, it could be a piece of paper, it could be a pencil. But just the idea that you've given them something, that you make them feel special. Then we have the act of service. There are some women who, you know, they just love seeing you doing things, seeing you taking care of them, seeing you cut the grass, seeing you taking care of the car, seeing you cooking, seeing you washing dishes and vacuuming, and changing diapers and just keeping everything in order. That person just turns them on when you do that. I've heard women say that's a beautiful thing to see a man wash dishes, and it's just like it just really excites them. And then you have physical touch. There are some people who they want to hold hands. They want to kiss. They want to embrace. They love lots of sex. They want to be sitting together and just touching. They want to kiss before they leave home. They want to kiss before they when the man comes home or the wife comes home. They just need to touch each other. And I'm similar to that. I have two. I think affirmation is more dominant than, but the physical touch, I love that. I mean, I'm a sexual being, so I love that my wife and I'm not married right now, but you know, when I was married, but it's I just love that. I love being affirmed, and I love affirming others. In the book,
all right,
we got
quite a few callers on, and I just want to say
one thing
before I go to the first caller. Now, can we replace dishwashing with putting the dishes in the dishwasher? Now, I'm good at putting the dishes in the dishwasher. Now, I can handle that part. But I'll ask you some more questions about that. Now, the touchy-feely thing, I'm okay with.
Okay.
Let's go to Cheryl. What are your thoughts on some of the things that you've heard Tyrone say?
Well, Good evening, everyone. How y'all doing?
Good evening.
I really enjoy that he's talking about. And it's so true. And I think what happens is that the languages get crossed. You know, we give to the other person what our needs are, and the same thing goes again. Instead of learning what the other person needs are or what they enjoy, and I think that all comes from communication. But I'm really enjoying what he's saying, and it's so true. It is. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I've been buried twice, like Tyrone has, but I can just tell you from my feelings, a lot of things I say. You know, when you leave for work, you ought to give your wife a peck on, you know, a peck, and when she comes home, you ought to exchange a peck. But one thing that leaves when your relationship is in trouble is when, and this is just my thought, a relationship is in trouble when people stop kissing. And I know I love kissing, Tyrone, and I'm just going to be up front. I don't think I can make it in a relationship that don't involve kissing. I mean, that's just
that's
who I am. So let's go on. Now, I'm going
yeah,
to say
that's
this
really
person,
important to me, too.
I'm going to say this person's last four digits of their number because I don't know their name. So I'm saying the last four digits of your number, 6490. 6490. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Jennifer, calling from Atlanta.
All right, Jennifer, you want to make a statement or ask a question?
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello,
Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Jennifer saw me preach the other night. And anyway, Jennifer, thanks for being on the call.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, my friend.
What can I
yes,
is it a question or a comment?
Yeah, I like to say that everything that Tyrone has hit upon is true. I think communication is A+, number one, top on the list. And I agree foreplay begins not just touching, as some men may feel like that's consistent of foreplay. Foreplay can just be, hey, baby, in the morning, mental for me anyway. If you stimulate my mind, you got me. And I just think that men should, from my experience, should know that when we women say we want foreplay, we don't mean we want you to necessarily all the time, you know, be physical. We mean stimulate our mind. That's what we mean by foreplay. And then that makes us feel special and loved and, you know, more receptive to being with that person.
Go ahead. Tyrone, with her saying that, I think that technology now gives us a lot of ways to display foreplay. I know that texting, men and women should be texting all day and calling each other throughout the day. There got to be times where you should be able to call that person you love or text a special note to that person you love. So you got all kind of ways to communicate now that allows you to share your heart with the person that you're involved with.
Right. Yeah, you text her or call her. That's really important. That's really important to a woman that you call her. You know, so I was just thinking about you. I was just thinking about you or I know I used to say many times you're gonna be good to me tonight, huh, girl? You know, that kind of thing. But send her flowers, make plans for her, you know, to take her to lunch or dinner and those kind of things. That's what sealed the deal. Because she's anxious to be with you that night. And you try, you know, you're doing whatever it takes, what's necessary to do to make certain that you have a beautiful night. It's always been, when I was married, it's always been lots of sex, but lots of, you know, a lot of calling my wife and doing the things that you need to do to get up to that point. And I think that's beautiful when you make love
and go to sleep together and wake up in the morning and have fun and just always just being a part of my spouse.
Yeah, and the thought Jennifer, is that you need to be.
Yes.
What you know, you and I had a conversation, and I asked you, you know, I didn't ask you, but what do you hear your friends or people that you know women complain about? Because I got some complaints here, and it's a
okay.
bunch of them. But what are the things that you hear them complain about? You know, we talked about not enough foreplay or no foreplay. We talked about premature ejaculation because that seemed to be the big one. I mean, a real big one because, you know, I mean, if a man is not supposed to release until his woman is finished. But anyway, go on. Let me shut up.
Well, I'll just use.
And I'm not. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm sorry. No, it's okay. I'm gonna just use an example of a friend, a girlfriend of mine, told me before that her husband. She made a comment. She said, "Well, I guess I don't have any," and I'm going to use breath, but that's not the word that she used. She says, because my husband just goes straight forward. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
I have you told him, you know? And she says, no, I haven't. I said, well, you can't read your mind. You have to let your spouse or your lover, your boyfriend or girlfriend, you have to let them know what you want. And I know with women, you know, like you mentioned earlier, there's shame there for whatever reasons. And you may want something, but you're too afraid to let your partner know. So she didn't let her husband know that she wanted that. And so he never, you know, was attentive to her in that way. But, yeah, just being treated like a piece of meat or a...
Right.
Yeah, sexual release,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That was a big one. That was the most big complaint of girlfriends of mine that they didn't feel like women. They felt like an object.
Yes. You know, one of the things I always say, James, we need to start teaching our young boys and girls, you know, maybe in their second and third grade, start teaching them about marriage, start teaching them about sex or lovemaking. You know, start training them now so when, because based upon my research, most men don't know anything about lovemaking. And so women are faking. Women are not being pleased. Even if a woman reaches orgasm or the big O or whatever you want to call it, maybe she's the kind of woman who reaches 10, 15, 20 of them. And a man is not supposed to release. That's the key to lovemaking for a man. He is not supposed to release until she's finished. And you're going to know when she's finished. He is not supposed to release because a man, especially when you start getting over 40, once you do that, it's over with. For the most part, it's over with because and when he releases too soon, he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed, and so he wants to just roll over and go to sleep. And the worst thing you can do is roll over and go to sleep, even if it was a good night, a good morning, whatever. You can't roll over and go to sleep. That's a crucial time. That's a very important time for a woman that she feels that she's significant, that she is loved. That's a real lovemaking for her, that whether she was pleased or not, certainly she wanted to be pleased. Also, real quick, I want to say this. We did some research over in other countries, in particular in Africa. We found that there was only like 19% of the women who said they were sexually pleased. Here's the conversation. A man is not concerned about pleasing his wife in Africa. That's not to say all men don't please their wives. But because the emphasis is on the man. The woman pleases the man, not the man pleases the woman. And so you have a lot of sexually frustrated women. And sexually frustrated women are dangerous. Dangerous because it's an emotional thing.
That's
sometimes
true,
you see women go off, you know. So women go off, they don't even know why they're going off. But if they're not releasing, they're building up all that frustration, pent up frustration. So it gets real, real deep. And There's nobody really teach the man or teach the woman, but the man is responsible for that. He is responsible for pleasing her, for keeping her pleased. And so,
and Tyrone,
women lie to
be, and other than just the physical part, couples need to learn how to just have fun with each other. I mean, one of the things I think is unique is going out and finding different things that people do. One of the things is I don't give flowers anymore. I don't switch from flowers to edibles. And, you know, it's because I think that allows them to enjoy not only the beauty of the fruit, but the taste of the fruit as well. So instead of just giving flowers where you're sensitive to one of their senses, you have the ability to impact two of their senses, their sense of sight and their sense of taste. And when they taste the sweetness of that fruit, I think that it helps to help them enjoy and know that you went another mile toward getting something for them that was something that everybody doesn't get.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing this evening, Andre?
Well, sensational Saturday to everyone. What a wonderful talk about love languages. And, you know, the one thing about it is it's good to know your partner's love language because, like you say, each one of us have a dominant, and not that we don't express all of them, but it's good to know that person what's key to them. So, again, thank you for the topic tonight, James. Discussion is well received. Sorry, I'm a little late, but what I've heard so far is on target.
We were trying to decide whether we were going to talk about this because for many people, this is taboo. But we felt like we had a mature audience so we can discuss this.
Well, I think you said
when
you said with our young people and teaching, because in essence, you know, our young children are watching us, and in essence, that's setting their future as to how they will treat and be treated. So it's a good conversation for us to have. I mean, I don't think we said anything out of line, but it's a forum.
Yes, yeah. Appreciate it.
Well, certainly I can't write about love and then don't want to talk about it. So it's important that we be able both to talk about it and write about it because I want everybody to know, you know, a lot of times, and I'm just going to say this from a man's perspective, a lot of times women think that men don't like romance. I love romance. I love the thought of surprising the person that's special in my life. I like doing things for them that nobody else will do. And I'm always looking for what is going to raise the bar, so to speak. So I can tell you there are things that I've done years ago that there's still things that men would have never thought to do. So there's always things out there men can find to do that shows the uniqueness of their thoughts and their feelings, and we have to do that. Okay, we got another caller. I'm going to call the last four digits of your number, 0822. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Okay, 0822. Maybe you want to listen. Just continue to listen. All right. Tyrone, back to you. What are your thoughts about there's always a way to make yourself unique into to the woman that you care about?
Yeah. Well, the uniqueness to me is getting to know her and getting to know her past. That's really important that you understand what she's dealing with because each woman is different. And so it's really important. Also, you should, you know, chivalry is really important to me. You know, opening doors. See, when I'm married, that's my queen. She's my queen. So a queen gets everything. And so opening up doors, taking her out to dinner, buying her clothes, buying her jewelry, taking her on trips, whatever I can do to make her happy. That's what I want to do, keep her happy.
Well, one of the things I have to tell you, too, now there's a lot of ladies on this show right now, Tyrone, so I'm going to go and get in a little trouble. But you can never, don't ever, ever, I'm telling the men out there that you're listening to me, don't ever, ever trust your lady telling you that she don't want nothing for a gift because you're going to do something else for her later on. I had
that's
the experience of I was going to give my wife $400 or $500. I forgot what it was, but she wanted to go to a conference that was after Valentine's Day. And so I told her I'd give her the money to go to the conference and give her extra money to spend. So I thought that was the agreement we made, that instead of spending money on Valentine's Day, I was going to take that money and give it to her in cash so that she would have the money for that conference. I came home without no car or nothing, and boy, you want to talk about somebody had to get up out of that house? I had to quickly get out of the house and go find some way, and I went and took all the money that I was going to give her, put it in $5 bills, bought about 10 or 15 little bears, and let her run around the house finding her money in those little bears. And, boy, she was as happy as a lark. But I'm saying, I thought we had already settled it and discussed it and came home. And if I hadn't gone out of that house that day, it would have been murder the next day. So you can't trust what they tell you. Just go on and get whatever it is you're going to do because they get both of them. So that's my thought is when it comes to them birthdays and them Valentine's days and y'all come to an agreement because y'all going to do something else, don't believe that agreement. You better go on and get them something.
Well, they say, James, they say a happy life, I mean, a happy wife is a happy life. But one of the things I have is, what does a woman want? She wants you to listen to her. She wants you to make her a priority in terms of spending time with her. She needs to know that you have eyes only for her. She wants you to share responsibilities. And she wants you to talk to her. And she wants you to massage her, and she wants foreplay. That was like seven things that was listed that we came up with. What is it that women want? And certainly they want to be sexually pleased. But those are some of the things. And what I think one of the things we don't do is we're trying to buy things or say things to her that's not what she wants. She wants you to listen to her. When you listen to her, a classic example, what you just said, James. What she's telling you, what she wants. But you felt like you were going to do something else.
Well, okay. No, I thought we had agreed that I was going to give her the money and that we weren't going to do anything for Valentine's. But I'm just telling you, you don't kick me but one time, and I'm going to figure out how not to get kicked. So.
Yeah,
I already figured it out. Just don't listen to a thing they say when it comes to them birthdays and holidays and anniversaries. Yeah, no kind of what agreement y'all come to, you better go on and get
please
something.
Please don't miss that anniversary and birthday, Christmas, whatever. You know, that's important. That's your wife. That's your queen. And you're not supposed to forget those.
But it's important that you recognize that, again, I think women need to understand that men enjoy romance just as much as women do. And I'm going to tell you, when a woman cares enough about me to send me flowers and let other people know that I'm the man in her life, I feel just as unique and special about that because I ain't going to let you outdo me. So the more you do, the more you're going to get. So you need to think of it as an investment.
Well, James, there are a lot of men that's not romantic. At all. They've never seen, you know, touching and kissing around them. They've never seen their parents touch. So they're not romantic at all. And there are a lot of men who don't talk. They don't talk. But a woman can get her man to do anything she wants him to do. She can get him to do anything she wants. Because one of the things I do know is that a man's objective, his nature, is to please his woman. That's his thing. But you have to appeal to him. Regardless of what his past or his experiences or the way he sees things, you have to appeal to that and let him know what you need or what you desire. Even when it comes to lovemaking, you have to let him know. And there are some things like the premature ejaculation. And I'm gonna give you an example.
the reason why most men experience premature ejaculation is because we start so young. You know, we start real young, and we're sneaking it, and we have to hurry up, and then that goes into your adulthood, and you never learn how to tame that or control that. I got married when I was 21 years old, and I married a woman who was 27. And so she was the kind of person, it took her about 20 minutes to release, maybe longer than that. It seemed like it was longer. And I was a person who was so used to just, you know, just making it happen, just did it. And so I had to learn, but I did the research. I started, you know, because I was not going to be defeated in that area because that was always important to me. I can remember researching about love, making it sex ever since I was 12 years old and reading Penthouse books and Playboy books. I would not buy that, but I would see a different place, and I wanted to know about that because that was always important to me. And so I had to learn. There are techniques. There are techniques a man can learn to control himself. And once he does that technique over and over and over and over, he gets to the point where he can retard his orgasm. He can retard it to the point where he can go all night long without releasing. If that's what she wants to do, she wants to go all night long, he can go all night long without releasing it. And when he just releases when she's had enough.
Well, that is an interesting concept. Let's go on to another break, and we'll be back to continue our conversation.
Okay, that's a big shot.
Oh, no.
Bye.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's WWWEALTHDADSYSTEM.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears and you'll reach your dreams.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Tyrone, I'm going to have to add a little reality to the conversation just so that people are aware of something. I mean, when you said those 4 hours, what jumped in my head was, you know, I haven't been married in a long time. It's been almost 15 years since marriage.
Okay.
And got this new thing that came out, and they said that one of the things is if you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you're supposed to go to the hospital. Well, the reality is all of us want an erection for 4 hours because we ain't never had one of those before. So, you know, we ain't going to no hospital. We're going to rejoice in the moment. So, and the other thing is I know there's ladies out there who say no means no, but, you know, you're supposed to take that pill an hour before, and if no is after that time, they may want their $99 back because them pills are pretty expensive to waste just taking for nothing. So I'm just going to share that with you because there's a reality to this new world that exists with some of these guys out there nowadays.
Yeah. Also, if a man learns how to take care of himself, he won't have to use those pills. But one thing I wanted to say something. What women say they want in bed. And also, after I say this, Jennifer texts me and she has a question she wants to ask. I don't even know what's her last number. Do you know which one is Jennifer? Let me see what's her. James, do you know which one is Jennifer?
6490?
Let me see. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me say this real quick and then Jennifer can come on. Okay. The women want men. They want foreplay. They want connection. They want pleasure. They want intimacy, and they want emotional closeness. Now, Jennifer, are you there?
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. First, I'd like to apologize and say hi, James. I didn't acknowledge you the last time. I apologize. I want to make a comment. Thank you. I want to make a comment and then with a follow-up question. The comment I wanted to make was a lot of women have been through a lot of sexual trauma, and so therefore they have sexual dysfunction.
Yes.
I'm actually also writing a book, but I'll give you an example, being molested as a child, as Tyrone mentioned earlier about the man's wife who had been raped, but the big theme is a lot of molestation that has gone on with women that were young girls, and it has been swept under the rug. But some women carry it on into adulthood. So my question was, how do men feel about women that they encounter like that? I know most of the time they probably don't know because the woman doesn't feel comfortable enough to share that. But if you were to encounter a woman that did tell you that, how would you feel as a man, and how would you go about the steps to make her feel that she's not being used sexually?
Okay, so for me, and I've experienced that, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it had that kind of effect upon this person. But when a woman comes into or goes into a marriage like that, that is devastating because she has all kinds of hang-ups, emotional scars. I dated a girl who, well, a couple of them who were raped, who have been raped, and they're angry. They don't trust men. That's why it's important to get to know her past, having her to open up to you, getting to know her. And if you find out she has been raped, you have to constantly reassure her that you're there to take care of her and you should listen to her and hold her and let her cry and be sensitive to her needs and her desires and her wants or whatever. But you're there to work with her. You never criticize her, never criticize about what she's experienced. Just be there for her. And there are times when she just wants you to hold her. There are times she just wants to cry. There are times when she just needs to know that you're not going to leave her.
Okay, thank you.
And you have to be willing to love people beyond their uncomfortableness. You know, if you truly love somebody, you're going to be willing to do the kinds of things that are necessary to get them past that point that they're unhappy or they're in fear. And so that's what love truly means. And if that means holding her throughout the night, then that's what you need to do. I mean, whatever your wife needs you to do, get her breakfast in bed or whatever she needs or wants, desires, you have to love her enough to be able to do that. And there shouldn't be anything that you're not willing to do in order to make that happen. And romance, again, is a big part of being in a relationship. And I just don't believe that I'm the only one. I think there are a lot of men who want to romance their wives a lot further beyond what is normal. And then you find things that you love doing. I know in my first relationship, my wife knew I was going to Publix in the morning to get her some fresh cut flowers. She knew I was going to have breakfast. And there's just some things you just do all the time so they know they can count on that. They know that it's one day that it's going to be something happening. And you start traditions, and those are the kinds of things that build romance and trust and love. And I know as a man, I love those kind of things. I love being unique and special and doing things that are out of the ordinary. And that's why I work hard so that I can do things that some people might can't do. But it is just the way I'm willing to do it and the way I look at things. So I think you need to find traditions that you all can create that is unique between the two of you, that each of you can always count on. And if someone has a history that they need to have somebody in their life manage or understand, then that's what the lover in your life should be able to do.
But there, James, there are so many women that are deprived, and that's why this book is so important. That's why the prophet told me this book is so important for marriages, because a lot of marriages have split up because of the woman not being sexually pleased. And the woman's going to eventually sneak out of the house, and she's going to find somebody who can please her. If that man, and in many cases, the man does not know how to please his woman. In many cases, many cases, the man does not. And so women find themselves, they're having to accept. They're having to accept, accept whatever the husband's going to give or whatever they can get from that. So let me shut up and take some other questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cheryl, let's come back to you, Cheryl. You have any thoughts or comments you'd like to make?
I'm really, really enjoying, again, just listening. And everything that he's hitting on is so true. And to me, the key thing for everything is communication, is getting to know your, because that's where I take, when this activity would happen, is, in the with a spouse. And when you get to know your spouse, you know what it takes to please him or her and to keep them there. And that way they won't be wondering, and you wonder what happened in the marriage. And it all comes from communicating. If you're not communicating, just like the young lady said, that a person, no, I think it was Audrey, if I'm not mistaken, said that she wanted her spouse to do something and he didn't know. And they're not mind readers. And we're not mind readers either. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I'm cracking up laughing, too, you know, when I'm on mute.
We, in particular in the African-American community, we don't like talking about this. We really don't. We don't talk about things like this here. And so, therefore, our children don't know. And so we just go about it, you know, doing it the best way we know. That's why this book is so, so important. And I'm appealing to you because we're going to come back with this subject at some point in the future. I'm appealing to you because this book is coming out. What is it that you want to see? I have a question. A lot of men, just men, get caught up on size. How important is size, ladies?
Well, you think they really going to answer? I'm going to be surprised
answers. Some of them are going to answer because I have two friends. One of my friends, and this was a long time ago, he came to me and said, man, my wife said, look at you with that little penis. She didn't say penis. Look at you with that little penis. It destroyed him. It knocked him to his knees. And, ladies, let me say this here. You got to watch your words. You have to watch your words. The power is in your mouth. Death and life is in the tongue. You got to watch your words. You can build your man up to be Samson, or you could tear him down to be Pee Wee Herman. It's all in your tongue. It's all in your mouth. But I want to hear about this size thing because, you know, I really want to hear. Anybody would like to say how important, you know, size is, and does that have anything to do with whether a woman's going to be pleased or not?
I don't think anybody's going to answer.
I'll answer.
Yeah, they got some people. Jennifer answers.
I'll answer. I'm
You got ears listening, Jennifer.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you're willing to answer, go ahead.
Yeah. Why not? We all the women should be, you know, I mean, go on.
Yes, I'll answer that. And I speak from, like I say, you know, we ladies, we talk just like I'm quite sure guys do.
Men don't talk about that kind of stuff.
Maybe not all men, but some of them do. I know my brothers do. But
yeah, we don't talk about that.
As quiet as it's kept. But, yeah, size is important to women. There's that saying, it's not the size of the boat, but it's the motion of the ocean. That is also
right. True.
But a woman, some women, I can't speak for all. I can only speak for the women that I've spoken with. They do this, and size does matter. We are, you know, we're smart. We know all men are not packing. But, I mean, if your woman loves you, it all depends on, like I said, the motion of the ocean. Maybe you're not equipped, you know, but there are other ways that you can make up for what you're lacking down there. So,
uh-huh.
but yeah, it is kind of important. Size is important. I'm just being honest.
Okay. All right.
Average.
So what?
Average.
What can you say? What size is important to the ladies that you've talked to? Because I talked with one woman out of Africa, and she said she wanted 11 inches. 11 inches is what she needs.
Oh,
no.
That's a bit much. Most women, I think, they're good with average. But you
What's
have
average?
The other women that, like, maybe, I don't know, I haven't measured any, but I would say maybe 7 and up. You know,
yeah, 7 and up.
Okay. It's the average, I guess. But
okay.
When it gets to like 11 and all that,
for me personally, that's a bit much, and you know, I'm not one of them women, and it's okay. I'm not knocking those that like it, but
yeah,
I just you know, yeah, a okay. woman wants you know that song. It's a woman sings it, but women like it too. Giving him something he can feel, so she wants some. She wants something that she can feel. How about that?
But she's talking on
well,
song,
Tyrone.
Let me shut up.
Tyrone, you were able to get that out, but I want to just share something with you. I had an experience where I had a gentleman who was in his late 80s walk into the Wellsville Museum, and he said to me, and a group of other guys were there, and we ranged from 30 to up to 80, and it was maybe three or four of us, and he was 80 plus, and he said that no matter how old you get, there's a way to please a woman. So don't get caught up on size, because there are a lot of things that are out there and available to you. You just got to do some research and be willing to make it a part of your repertoire. So it ain't always got to be in your trousers.
That's
no,
true.
Well, I was just inquiring about that because I talk to a lot of women, and I have several friends of mine who said, I know, like I told you, the gentleman said that his wife told him that, you know, about this little thing. Then I also had another friend of mine told me about his wife told him, I'm going to tell all your friends you're not handling up in the bedroom, which just, I mean, literally destroyed him. And all I'm saying is women, I mean, even if he doesn't have whatever you need or whatever, you don't destroy the brother. Because you can say something to a man and destroy him for life. He'll never come back.
Yeah,
that's important because, yeah.
Yeah, I think women do that out of anger.
Yes.
Which it doesn't make it right.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And this brother, well, I know one of them. He's still not, it's been about 20 years ago, he's still not straight. He and his wife split up. But I don't think that was his problem. I think she just said that out of anger.
Yeah.
Because a woman can always say that to a man. I don't care. I don't care what man or what size he is. She can always see, you know, it's small or too little or whatever. But I just inquire about that because I'm writing a book and I want to cover all particular, you know, I want to cover every area that I can. I know I can't cover everything.
All right.
But okay.
Well, let's go on the last break. And we'll come back and allow everybody to have their final word.
Okay.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more away into that super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby. Thank you.
Andre, your final thought for this evening?
Oh, just want to say that I was trying to get in too, but yes, size matters. But I do agree that man that shared that word of wisdom with you, James, he's exactly right. There are other ways to, you know, just as you're asking for the size for women, but that works both ways. I mean, men look for particular sizes or prefer particular sizes as well. So that's not the key. The key of it is, as Cheryl has said over and over again about the communications, but as you communicate and find out what it is that pleases your significant others, at that time it comes to the point of practicing what you preach.
All right. You go, Gardner.
Good job.
All right. Cheryl, your final thought for this evening?
All I can say is this has just been a great show. Really enjoyed everything that was said. Gave out some real valuable information. And I know I had my laugh for tonight.
You know that they say that laughing is a little bit of nervousness, Cheryl. All right. Virginia, I think it's Virginia, right?
Jennifer.
I'm sorry, Jennifer.
That's okay.
Your last thought
yeah.
for this evening?
I'd just like to say positions. Change it up. Typical and boring, going to the bedroom, going to the bed, boring. We don't have to be swinging off of chandeliers, but let's just try some new stuff to spice it up, you know.
That's all right.
The
okay.
Shit I like to
the ladies are opening. Well, Tyrone, I thought that they would be a little more reserved, but they're opening up a little bit. We have one other caller, 3061. 3061, give your name and where you're calling from. All right, well, Tyrone, I think you're going to need a chapter two, so we'll look at seeing what free time we have next month for you to continue. But it was a wonderful opportunity for us to share our thoughts. Tyrone, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, just thank you for this opportunity. I was kind of nervous about this because I didn't know how it would be received, but I see it's well received. But you know, the more and more we educate our people, the more and more we open up, and women love sex probably more than men, what it says. But I want to say this here real quick. I want to read this. God gave us romance in marriage so that we could frequently celebrate our love spiritually. That's it. Thank you for your time and your participation.
All right. Well, guys, we'll be on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We have our normal speaker that comes on every 2 weeks out of Harlem, New York. So we're looking forward to having him again tomorrow. And as always, I'm sure he's going to bring a lot of energy to the table. So be here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 657-383-0903 and so that we can talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future.
Awesome.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow.
like you're just bored to death. And you wanna get away, you wanna get away from this noisy crowd. Let's go where it's nice and quiet, where there's nobody.